as homes across the country are preparing to welcome visitors from near and far, particularly the gentleman in the red suit, how would you like to welcome some stormtroopers into your living room? That is a possibility with this new gadget which Jess has been testing by Lenovo. Jess, what is it?
It's a Star Wars Jedi AR VR challenge. So it's made by Lenovo, as you say there now. And what you do is you download an app onto your phone and then you place your phone into the VR AR headset. That's by Lenovo. It's $249. And so in the box, you get the VR headset. You get a lightsaber, which is very cool. Mm-hmm. And then you get like a little orb ball that you place on your sitting or anywhere in the house, basically, that you want to correlate with the headset. So you place the orb ball down, you put your VR headset on and you hold your lightsaber. And suddenly, stormtroopers come marching in through your gaff and you have to kill them with the lightsaber.
But you can see them in your own room. I mean, this is not like seeing them against a spacey background.
This isn't virtual reality. So for those who don't know, virtual reality is where you put on a pair of goggles and you could be in space. You know, you could be on anywhere in the world, basically. You get transformed when you have the virtual reality headsets on. This is augmented reality. So this is where there are characters from a virtual world in your actual setting. So I had everybody in the office here playing it last week, so they all looked a bit silly, but whatever about that. They were all putting the headset on and there were stormtroopers coming through the news talk office. There were little droids, there were all kinds of everything coming through and they were being slayed by the lightsaber. So you see them in your actual setting. So if this was in your house, for example, one may appear behind your couch and you have to try and slay it, and then one might appear right before you. And it's a very, very immersive experience. And this was a lot of the people in the office, it was their first encounter of augmented reality. Anyone who played Pokemon Go will be quite familiar with it, because that's where the Pokemon would appear in your actual setting. And I think, although this is, it's $249, so it's a little bit more on the pricey side, but it's great fun. Anyone who's a Star Wars fan will love it.
And are there other applications or...
There are other games.
Because, I mean, you get bored with the one game, wouldn't you?
Well, I tell you, we played it for a good few hours in the office and there were people entertained. There are other applications for it. What I would say is, and the reason I wanted to talk about it is because AR is one of the big trends, one of the things we're going to see more and more of next year. There's no question about that. For example, you know the way sometimes you might be talking to an author who might be based in London or New York?
Yeah.
Instead of you just talking to them down the line, we may be able to, you know, have an AR application so you see them in studio. So you could be talking to them face to face, just as you are talking to me now. They could be here. The same in conference calls. A lot of companies would have like a base in Dublin, a base in New York, a base in London.
But then if everyone's doing this, right, you're actually looking at someone at the other end of the line who's got a headset on, VR goggles.
It's going to go beyond that. It's going to be just basically projections and, you know, kind of like Tupac and Biggie. They're going to be disappearing before your eyes. But I think this is a trend that we're going to see more and more of. And it's very interesting to see how they're going to be integrated into our day-to-day life. You know, a few years ago, I remember talking to you about VR first, 3 years ago, I think it was now. And it's something that it doesn't even need an explanation
anymore.
Well,
here's the question. Where's 3D TV gone?
Oh, well, that was a big old waste of time, wasn't it?
Well, it was very enjoyable. I mean, if you watch rugby on... Okay, you had to wear the glasses and all that. Rugby was great, particularly the lineouts. Great. What else was good? Golf was good because normally when you're looking at a green on telly, it's just flat.
Yeah.
And when you put the 3D on, you could actually see the undulations of the greens and wonder, you know, something that, you look at the 2D set and you say, I could do that.
Mm.
And then you see the undulations in the 3D and you say, no, I could not do that. How did he get that 25 footer in?
So instead of the 3D, so with the 3D, you had to wear the goggles, you had to charge them up, you had to sit in a certain place to get out to work. What happened then, and, you know, I was talking about it on Off the Ball last year, you can download, you know, a particular golf course, put it into your VR headset, and rather than watching it in 3D, why not walk around it? Why not walk up to the green, take a look at how long the grass is, take a look back at how far it is from the tee, that kind of stuff. So we're going to get to a stage...
And walk out under a 46A and kill yourself.
Ah, now, would you... Everyone's so negative about this sort of stuff. I'm living for the day where I can just do all this stuff without having to leave my apartment.
All right, let's move on to something more pertinent, and that is cell phone radiation. I thought that one had been put to rest.
So did I. And I read this on Sunday morning, I think it was. I'm going to get in trouble for saying this, right? But I am one of those people that sleeps with my phone under my pillow. It's not on charge when it's under my pillow. It's just, it's in near proximity because I'm weird like that. And it seems that if this report from the California Department of Public Health is to believe, that that is very, very bad. They've issued, for the first time in a little while, they've issued some guidelines for smartphone usage. And it makes for quite interesting reading. There's some particular tips that they give, but they're saying that it can't be, you can't fully rule out the impact that the radiation from your smartphone is having, or any phone is having on your body. So it can do things like, this is the fear of brain tumours, lower sperm count, all of these different impacts that it can have on
the
person's body.
But they're not saying it's having these effects. They're saying it might, and therefore the precautionary principle should apply.
Exactly. And that's where it makes me feel very, very, very uneasy because, you know, people, I remember when I was younger, we used to always get a slap on the back of the head saying, don't be standing too close to the microwave. You know, those kind of things. And absolutely, there's impact there. But I just think you have to be so careful when you're saying something about a smartphone, which millions and millions of us carry on our person every single day.
OK, now what guidelines have they issued?
So they said reduce phone use when the signal is weak. So that means if, you know, if you only have one bar of reception and it's trying to reach it, what happens in that instance is your phone kind of it activates another level of the antenna inside the phone. It's reaching for some form of signal, so it's working a bit harder. So they're saying when that's the case, try and reduce your phone usage. Reduce the use of cell phones to stream audio or video, or download or upload large files. Now, that is just not practical. Can we talk about that for a second? Because in the age when we have Zuckerberg pushing out all these new features on Facebook and Twitter pushing out all these new features to keep us engaged on social media for longer, you know, TV shows, even we're doing it. Everyone is making content available for you to consume on social media. They're all big files that you're going to be streaming in real time, or you can download whenever you fancy. So I just think...
Okay, but let's talk about Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
Wi-Fi is not a problem, one presumes, because it's relatively low level radiation, one presumes.
But for your phone to work in Wi-Fi, like, you can't put your phone in flight mode and then still have your phone working on Wi-Fi. Your phone still has to be on the cellular network, unless you take the SIM card out and then just have it running off the Wi-Fi network.
I think you can actually put it into flight mode and have Wi-Fi work.
No, it knocks everything off. It's an absolute pain. Well, on the phone that I'm using, at the iPhone 7 anyway, that's the way it is at the moment. Yeah. But you can take your SIM card out and it won't work. The other thing they're saying is keep the phone away from the bed at night. Remove all headsets when not on a call. So does that mean if I'm listening to, you know, if I'm listening to News Talk or Spotify or God knows what else I'm listening to walking down the street, I shouldn't have my headset in? Because that does kind of work as an antenna that'll make you have your calls. I just think it's absolutely very interesting reading. CBS had the full report, so you can have a look there if you want. I'm just very, very nervous, and it does make me feel uneasy because of the amount of time I use my phone, but it's not conclusive.
Now, Facebook, what are they up to now?
So now they're going to use their face recognition technology, which has been in play since 2010, to alert you when a photo of you has been uploaded on Facebook. So at the moment, the way it works is, you know, if we are, if I'm out with a group of my friends and I take a picture and I can tag them in the photograph, so I can say, you know, at Aisling and put her in the photograph, it appears on her Facebook wall, all is dandy. What they're now doing is they are going to send Aisling a notification automatically saying, Jess Kelly just uploaded a photograph and we think you're in it. So the way it works at the moment, the facial recognition already kind of suggests who it thinks it might be in the photograph. So if some of my friends, it might say, is this Aisling? And I can say yes, and it'll get the tag.
But if you're not on Facebook, it doesn't matter.
If you're not on Facebook, it doesn't matter. But if you're on Facebook and you're...
Because they can't tell me. I mean, imagine someone like
Pat Kenny.
Premiership footballer, for example.
Yeah.
And he might be out and about and snap.
In a million selfies a day. You would go bananas by Thursday. There's no question. Facebook are kind of saying, you know, it's good for us to give privacy control to our users so you can get notified every time a photograph is put up about you. But just this morning, and it's quite interesting given what we were talking about last week and about the turn, the tide that's turning on Facebook, three or four people this morning alone have said to me, God, I'm bored with Facebook, or Facebook's just become a bit of a whinge fest, or it's just an attention fest. People seem to have less time for it now. And Facebook, I think, are trying to push out all these different features to get people interested again. But I think that they've gone too far. The way that the social media has gone in the last 18 months is just a bit mind-boggling when you look at it. It used to be about staying connected with your friends. Yeah. I could see what you're up to. You could see what I'm up to. We share our statuses. We share our photographs, videos, whatever. Now, all media organizations are completely flooding our timelines. So I have to literally scroll, dig and search if I want to see what my friends are doing. But I could tell you what CNN are talking about on all their different channels at the drop of a hat. So I just think they're trying to get a bit of attention. This feature is a bit of a, it's a bit unnerving, I think, for them to have that level of technology to recognize your face. I'm not sure how I feel about it.
Yeah, I mean, facial recognition for all sorts of things. I mean, for instead of PIN numbers and things like that. I'm just not sure. I mean, I have it on the phone I have at the moment, the Galaxy Note, and I look at it and sometimes it gets me and sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah, I'm using the particular laptop that I'm reviewing at the moment. We're going to talk about it on Friday, I think. It's the Surface, and it's great, except for it doesn't recognise me when I look like crap. So I obviously did the facial recognition on a day when
You've
I looked
trained
good.
It well.
I was off sick yesterday, and it was like, sorry, who are you? Who are you? I'm like, oh, God.
There's another thing on the phone's iris recognition technology, but you can't use it and face. It's either one or the other. You have to choose. That's the way it is at the moment. Now, stay with us. We've got quite a few questions coming in, and we'll deal with those after this. Jess Kelly is still with me, and we want to clarify, don't we?
I don't know everything. I'm sorry, people of Ireland. I was wrong. You were all right. You can turn your phone into airplane mode and still use Wi-Fi.
What happens when you turn it into airplane mode? It switches off. Yeah. So you have to switch it back on again.
Yeah. So I apologize sincerely from the bottom of my non-existent heart.
Anyway, lots of listeners texting in. Yeah. They just love to catch you out.
They do. Yeah. Congratulations. Happy Christmas, everybody.
Now, the question's coming in. Sheila wants to know, could you recommend a good printer, please?
Yes. And the Canon Self, is it the Canon Self? They're great. They are available from Currys, PC World, Harvey Norman, any of those outlets at the moment, and they are excellent. Depends on how much you want to spend. If it's just for the odd document, I wouldn't go over £60. I think you can get really good ones between 50 and 60 at the moment.
Yeah, and obviously the ink is what makes the money, because the printer, there's a lot of high tech in a printer, mm-hmm. and it's certainly in a printer head.
Yeah.
In a lot of cases, I use a Brother printers, which operate on a different technology, and very terrific.
Yeah,
you don't have the high expense of those ink heads all the time.
Yeah.
I've stopped using Facebook. I find it too intrusive. I still have my account active in case someone tags me in something or if they comment about me, but I haven't scrolled through it in months. It's quite liberating. I like that when I see people now, they tell me their news instead of saying, oh yeah, saw that on Facebook.
Yeah, I think that's something that we're going to see more and more of. It's definitely that the tide has turned a good bit. I'm contemplating deactivating my Facebook account, but I have that massive fear of missing out. So I kind of still have it there, but I deleted the app from my phone.
Now, could you please tell me the name of the phone Jess Kelly recommended a while ago? It's a pay-as-you-go and costs around €80.
I think that was the Moto phone. So we had some phones by Moto, and the Moto G4 springs to mind as a possibility. Also great phones available from Nokia at the moment. And indeed Huawei as well. The Huawei Y6, that's one, I think it's less than €120, but it's a great phone.
Now, this is intriguing. Please help out a pensioner. I have an Apple iPhone 4 bought for my 65th birthday. It's now 7 years old. Unfortunately, it will expand font whenever next to even a credit card. So I know it's reacting to the strip and it's getting worse. Does Jess have some idea how to rectify it? Is this near-field communications?
I'm not 100% sure. I'm trying to see here now. I don't think the iPhone 4 has NFC on it. So I'm trying to have a quick read-through here now and see if there's an easy explanation. We do know that phones can act weird around cards. It's the same with hotel keys, anything like that. But that is usually the near-field communication. But what I'll do is have a proper read and I'll give you a shout after the show.
Okay. What does Jess think about, or has she any info on, the VTech InnoTab? My almost 5-year-old wants one for her birthday next month, and I'm wondering, are they worth it or not? What is a VTech InnoTab?
So this is a tablet aimed very much at children. So they are great. You can, if you've got a kid in your life that loves Peppa Pig or Paw Patrol, it's the way to go. It's a very child-friendly tablet. It's very, it's built for small hands, so it's kind of rubbery and it'll bounce if you drop it. My only thing, I think it's an absolutely excellent product. The only thing I would say is the child might outgrow it quite soon. So what okay. I would recommend if they want a tablet is buying something like the Samsung Tab E. It's a 9.6 inch screen. It's €120, I think.
So it's a serious piece of kit.
Serious piece of kit. It's actually €160 at the moment, sorry. And what that can do is you can put that in parent mode, so you can ensure that it's completely safe for your child, but it will grow with them. They won't outgrow it. So they can do the things like playing some basic games. There are some great games out there at the moment, free on the Android and iOS operating system for kids. But then when your child gets a bit older, they'll be able to do different things.
What I like about this is my almost five-year-old wants one for her birthday next month. What's happening next month? The sales.
Oh,
the
yeah.
post-Christmas sales.
Oh, that's
so
really
So should
good.
Be deals to be done, I would expect.
Absolutely, yeah.
So don't buy yet. Don't buy for Christmas. Just wait until closer to the birthday. Alan wants to know, I'm looking to get smart light switches. What would Jess suggest?
So I have Hive plugs around my home, but they also do the bulbs, the light bulbs as well that you can put in. So you don't need the actual switch on the wall. What you can do is you can control it all from your phone or from your tablet. That is one way to go. There's also, you know, Belkin and Wemo also make a few. So it depends on how much infrastructure you want to add to your home, or you just want to plug in the bulbs and control from your phone. But I have the Hive ones.
My daughter is dyslexic. She wants a Kindle reader and she wants to hopefully get a fairly large screen and also one that will read the words when you touch the screen. What's out there?
So there are, I actually bought a Kindle for someone the other day and there are so many different options out there. What I would recommend is the Kindle Paperwhite. Now, unfortunately, they don't come with very large screens. It's a 6-inch screen as standard across the majority of the Kindle readers. They're quite small. But you can increase the text on this so you can have it as big as you fancy. Also, what you can do is you can do that exact thing of hovering over a word and it'll give you the definition, it'll give you the pronunciation, that sort of thing.
Will it say it for you?
I'm not 100% sure. I haven't tested out that bit, but I can check that out for you. But I would say the Paperwhite, the reason I recommend the Paperwhite over the slightly more basic model is because this is backlit, so even in a dark room the person will be able to read that bit more comfortably, and it's around €140 I think last time I checked, so I would highly recommend it.
Any chance that Jess could shout out the name of the Chinese brand phone that her boyfriend uses and she highly recommends?
Oh yeah, it's the Elephone P9000. So it's ELEPHONE P9000. I actually bumped into someone, I can't remember where it was, I think it was in Stephen's Green a few weeks ago, and he listens to the show and he was saying he also has one of them and highly recommends it.
What was the photo printer you recommended last week?
The HP Sprocket. Now, people have been in touch with me on Twitter saying it's kind of sold out in a lot of places.
Okay.
So unfortunately I think Santa's elves are trying to build more, but you may be a little bit disappointed if you're after one.
Sean and Tralee, please help me retrieve my email account. I have tried but I can't access it.
Oh, do we know the...
We don't know. I'm not sure whether it's Gmail or...
if you can send
Hotmail.
In more details, or if you want to email, or you probably can't email, text us in again and I'll give you a shout and talk you through if I can help you at all. Sometimes these things, they can just be like, you disappear into the cloud, whatever the cloud really is.
Can you suggest a laptop for my wife who is a teacher, reasonably priced? So she's a cheap teacher.
That's very, very good. I would say if you're trying to get something before Christmas, there are so many deals out there. The Lenovo IdeaPad is a laptop that really impressed me around the Black Friday time, and I think it's come down a little bit. The thing I would say to you now at the moment, unfortunately, if you're looking to buy techie things, you're kind of caught in a bad time because everything was reduced for Black Friday.
Yeah.
It's gone back up now and it'll be back down on Stephen's
Day for the desperate
sales.
Chopper who has to get
you
the present.
You have to have it. So I would look at the Lenovo ones. Again, for a basic laptop, I wouldn't pay more than $450 unless you need something very high spec.
Trish wants to know, could you ask Jess if she can remind us about the new Nokia phone? I used to use Nokia in the old days and I've used iPhones ever since, but I'm so fed up with it.
Oh, the Nokia 8 is the one that we were really, really impressed by. It's around the €400 mark. It's the Nokia 8 and it just has amazing spec on it. It'll really impress you if you kind of aspire to have the more high-end phones but don't want to spend a grand. They're definitely worth considering. There's also the Nokia, I think it's the Nokia 5, which is the more budget version and is excellent too.
Had iPhone 7 screen replaced, but while replacing the iOS updated, the touchscreen is not as good and will freeze. Had screen replaced again after that to make sure it wasn't the screen. Any suggestions? Could it be the update?
it could well be the update. Now, the important question here is, did you get the screen replaced by an official Apple partner, or did you go to another person, a third party, to get the screen replaced? Because if you did that, unfortunately, you voided your warranty, so they may not be able to help you. If the problem persists, I don't know if you've already tried to reboot it to factory settings and then upgrade it again from there. But unfortunately, it is sort of, it's just one of those things.
What's the best 8-inch tablet at the moment? I'd like to a decent one to last a while.
8-inch, I'm not sure about. The Alba Tab, which we've spoken about a few times from Argos, is excellent. Also, as I mentioned earlier on, the Samsung Tab E, that's a 9.6-inch screen and it is excellent. I bought one for my niece and it's fab.
Ask Jess, please, says Kevin. How prevalent is bloat and spamware getting preloaded into cheap Chinese phones? Bought two recently, both have been infected.
Yeah, I mean, there is an issue with kind of just stuff being loaded on things. It is easy to peel it back, though, so I would just take the time to wipe it and hopefully you won't have any issues.
Getting new tablets for kids 9 and 5 years of age. Please ask Jess about security for YouTube. Is there kids mode for them? But the 9-year-old wants to look at YouTubers. Can he still do that?
Yep, so there is YouTube Kids, which is a separate app to the main YouTube. Also, what you can do if the child wants to watch the YouTubers and the particular one isn't on YouTube Kids, you can set up YouTube on the tablet and then put in search restrictions. So you can say, you know, you don't want certain words or certain terms are allowed. I'm pretty sure we did a step-by-step guide on how to do this up on newstalk.com. So I'll find the link and we can tweet it out from the Pat Kenny Twitter account.
All right. We have one here now. Let's see if I can find it. This guy, his name is Ed in Cork. He said, not recommended to sleep with your mobile phone under your pillow. I used to do this, but one morning I woke up to find my phone gone and a €1 coin there instead. It was the Bluetooth fairy.
Hilarious. Hilarious. That's Christmas cracker worthy.
Christmas cracker stuff. Jess, thank you very much.
Thank you.
You'll be back with us on Friday.
Yes,
very
will.
Good.